Hello and welcome again to ReachMahjong.com's weekly podcast. With you, as sometimes, is, as always on the podcast, but sometimes for podcasting this, is Garth Nelson. I am Garth Nelson, and my fearless sidekick, no, front kick, front...
Above kick?
Yes. Certainly kicking me for being an idiot, yes, mostly. What is your name?
Jen Barr.
Yes, it has been quite some time since we have had a podcast. Long time no talk, eh?
Yeah. We had earthquakes and tsunamis and typhoons and...
Holy cow, it's been that long since we had the,
We stopped at first because of the earthquake and things.
Huh.
We're having, like, power outages and stuff all over the place, and we did not podcast, and then now we're finally back into it.
Yes, although, as well as we've recovered, it's still pretty impressive how much Japan does not recover.
Yeah.
Man, are they in a funk?
And then we have, like, just typhoon after typhoon, too, to go ahead and take care of the rest of the country. Because the earthquake happened in the northeast, right?
Right.
But then, a couple weeks ago, there was a typhoon that was all over the west of Tokyo.
Right.
Like, making landslides and stuff like that.
In western Tokyo, really?
Or not Tokyo, I'm sorry, west of Japan.
Western Japan, right. That's what I thought. And the last one, it sort of hit Tokyo, but it's not like Tokyo really suffered any serious damage.
I suffered.
Oh. I mean,
I sat at the train on the train for like 2 hours, and the little trees in my apartment complex were knocked over.
Little trees?
Yeah, I have little trees in my apartment complex.
Are they in like planters or something? That's why they're knocked over.
Well, they're like they're in the ground and with rocks covering them, like gravel. Huh.
And
the one right in front of my door was bent all the way over, touching my door.
Wow.
But they were fixed in the morning, so...
Well, and that's actually inside, like, a little walled area,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, mm-hmm.
Holy cow,
it was,
the wind...
Yeah, no, I was on the train, was full. You know how the full trains get in Tokyo, people
right.
push them in, right? It was full, and the train was shaking from the wind.
Holy moly.
Yeah, you were... What happened that day? I had seen you, because we had a meeting, and... Oh, you were working at Sentenbo?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, you were working at the Mahjong Parlor, so you probably wouldn't have noticed, but...
No.
It was insane.
Huh.
Even
that
in Tokyo.
Is pretty incredible. And were you lucky enough to have gotten a seat so that you didn't have to
Absolutely
stand?
Not.
Oh.
I was standing, and the guy next to me decided that he didn't have enough standing room, so he decided to start pushing me.
What a gentleman.
So I kind of just made it so, I didn't push him back, but I just made it so that if he tried to push, my elbow was getting in his way. And that made him mad. And so he started pushing harder, and so I started saying something, and then he quieted down.
I hate that guy.
Yeah, he was... And then he ended up getting off. He gave up really early and got off the train. I don't know how he got home.
It's too bad he didn't give up sooner.
Yeah. And then I gave up, and so I texted my friend.
Uh-huh.
It took him an hour to come pick me up.
Wow.
And then an hour from there to drive home, and we still made it back before any of the trains would. And I was, under normal circumstances, I was about 30 minutes away from home.
Wow.
But the normal one-hour trip took 5 hours. It would probably take 6 or 7 if I didn't call my friend to pick me up.
Wow. Well, yeah, it's true. From my perspective, like, it just... Again, with the same thing with the earthquake. Both times, I was at Sentenbo playing. And, you know, from my perspective... really nothing happened.
Yeah, the trains were stopped. We had a meeting that day with somebody from Osaka.
Uh-huh.
He wasn't able to go home because the bullet train stopped, so I had to stay an extra night in Tokyo.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's...
Yeah, you would have noticed if you read the email.
Yes.
that I sent you.
I should do things like that, shouldn't I?
Yeah, everyone listening, if you want emails read, you should probably send them to me, not Garth.
I check... Well, it's not true. I can't say that, can I?
No, you don't even check your ReachMahjong.com one.
I have checked that.
Yeah?
Not recently.
You've checked it...
It has been quite some time.
Probably over a year, I would think.
It hasn't been an entire year since the last time I checked it.
Are you sure?
Yeah.
You don't look very sure.
I'm not very sure, but the thing is... it's automatically forwarded to my Yahoo account, and so if anything had been sent, I should have seen it there.
Oh, okay. Well, as if you always notice things in your Yahoo account too.
Yeah, there's a lot of garbage there. So if like three people decided they're gonna have like a little Facebook chat session, then I get all those mails, and then everything all of a sudden goes down below my 50 message thing.
I remember just 2 days ago we were talking, and I was like, "Did you do that email?" And you're like, "The last one I have from you is August." No, try September 15th, and there it was.
I know, I did find it eventually. I only had to look a little bit past all of those stupid Facebook notifications. Okay, well, that's what we've been doing, random disaster recovery here in Tokyo. Although, Tokyo, for me, there hasn't really been much recovery for me, except recovering every morning from previous night's festivities. So let's see, let's talk about Mahjong then, huh? We've had an entire league session, at least one of our entire league sessions, go by since the last time we talked. I finished as I normally do, right there at the bottom, but I just managed to keep from falling out of D1 again. And I think instead of going through all the leagues and reporting on you know exactly who is in first place and who got 28 points this time and that time, I think what we're going to do from now on is focus on one player, and the player I have chosen to follow for the rest of the season is Takizawa.
That's a good choice.
Effectively known as, affectionately known as Taki. He's a great choice because he's so goddamn cool.
Yeah.
And he's so good.
He's so cool that all the girls and guys have crushes on him.
Yeah. little man crush from Garth on Taki. Anyway, he is having a rough time in League at the moment. He is currently minus 181, putting him in 15th place out of 16 in League A2. And that puts him quite a distance from the border. The current 12th place person is at minus 57, which means that he has 131 points. Or 124 points, excuse me, to make up before the end of the season. There are four more league sessions, and, you know, if there's anybody who has proven his ability to stay in A2, it is definitely him. He has been there for quite some time, resisting the urge to move up as well as resisting the the push to move down. He had an especially rough first half. His last session, I think, was only a few minus. So maybe he's coming out of his funk. It's interesting, for us anyway, to see. I hope maybe the event that we have on Saturday finishes early so I can go check out the rest of their games, because he is playing against Yoshida Yukio.
Oh.
And Yamada Hiro.
I played against Yoshida Yukio. We'll talk about that in a few minutes.
Yes, we will get to him. But those are two players that Yoshida we play with.
Why do you say their last names first? Yukio Yoshida.
Oh, that's true, yes. I'm...
I think you don't even know Taki's first name, do you?
I know. It's like Nori something?
Kazunori.
Kazunori.
Yeah.
See? I knew half of his first name. yes.
You should call him Nori-kun from now. Yeah. He doesn't even look like a Kazu to me, you know?
No, he's definitely just Taki.
Yeah.
Pretty much everybody calls him Taki. Even like the higher-ups, they call him Taki-kun.
It's such a cool name, too. It's like Dragon River. Or Dragon, not river. No, it's
waterfall.
Not even Dragon, it's Waterfall. But the Waterfall character has Dragon in it.
Yes.
Waterfall. What does Sawa mean again?
I have no idea what Sawa. It's just one of those things that's in everybody's name, but it's not in any words.
And that I wish I didn't bring up because it makes us look so dumb.
Well, it's... That's okay. I'll be making myself look pretty dumb later when we talk about Mahjong. Yeah. And the other person on their table is Nihira, who I've only actually played against once in Masters. But it would be a fun matchup to go check out, and I want to see how Taki's playing and how he adapts to try to keep himself in A2. So that's who we'll be following for the rest of the season. Just to wrap up what's happening in League for the two of us, I did get a positive 43 in my first session at League.
Yeah, you're very sneaky in this prep sheet that you sent me, because you said me hyphen plus 43, so it looks like me minus plus 43. And so for a second I was hoping that you got a minus 2. But then I realized that it's just my wishful
nobody
thinking.
Nobody rooting on my side. Darn. That does put me in sixth place, but only five will move up out of D1, so I do have to improve my standing a little bit.
Is that less than usual, or is that...
It seems way less than usual. Not only are there only five people moving up, there are only four people moving down, which is a huge decrease in the number of people moving down. Although the number of people moving down is never what they say it is anyway, because there's always those people who quit.
Yeah.
And so maybe that's their effort to just say, you know, probably you guys are actually still in, but for the moment you seem to be moving down. You had work, so you didn't get to play.
Right.
They didn't put you in the standings yet.
Oh, okay.
Which is, I wonder why that is. But if you did have minus 50, you'd be 35th out of 37. So,
oh, only 37? That seems less than normal as well.
Oh, yeah, that might be a little drop in the number of people in D1.
Yeah, maybe that's why.
Maybe evened people out in the other leagues. I mean, you have four sessions to improve that. I think you can do it.
I hope they know I'm coming. I told them that I was missing for work, so.
Seemed like.
Did they say anything while you were there?
I don't think anybody said anything about that. I keep trying to bring up the, Gushku, or Mahjong camp, but they keep not, I don't know, what's his name, Uchikawa seems busy. I think he's getting hitched.
Oh! That might not be public knowledge.
Oh, yeah.
Everybody keep that a secret,
yeah,
okay?
That's why I used a code word so nobody understands what I'm talking about. Okay, so that's Normal League. And then moving over to our other league that we like to play in is North Kanto.
Do we like to play in that?
Well, I like to play in it because I...
you're a jerk.
...win. I am the current... defending champion of the North Kanto League. I took first last season.
Jerk.
not only am I a jerk, but I'm probably going to be a jerk again.
I hate you.
I will probably mention it again and again and again. That is sort of big news, I guess, and we haven't talked about it. I made it. I took second place in the normal five league session. And then they decided to have the final table right there that day. It was me against Yoshida. Oops, I almost did it again. Yukio Yoshida. See, this is the other reason I do it. Makoto Sawazaki.
Nice.
That's his name. And Ogure, that's his name. And I have absolutely no idea what his first name is.
So you have nothing to play with, so you just start hitting things.
I know. Gotta make noise somehow. They were my final table opponents, and I won 3 out of 5 games to win the championship. I'm North Kanto champion for half a season.
Woo!
Yay! And there was much rejoicing.
And then when I went over to his house, he was just like, "See my first place trophy? Do you see this trophy? Oh, I have a third place one too, but see this first place one? You like the first place one better, right?"
Oh, did I do that?
Yes.
I can picture me doing that.
Yeah. You did that.
Oh, what?
Actually, I think you were showing my dog and not me, because I think you realized it was not something that I would be interested in.
Yes.
At all.
I will show Luna again. Luna is going to learn to be interested in that trophy. So let's see, we had the first session of North Kanto a couple weeks ago. I did get a plus 25 there, that puts me in 6th. Only 4 people go on to the finals, so I will have to improve my standing there. You had a big minus.
Yeah, I would have been better off not showing up. That was brutal.
What happened? Everything
happened.
Everything happened wrong?
Everything went wrong. When one guy was reach across from me, and he had the six of cracks in his hand, in his discards, and so I threw my six of cracks, which I had two of, and the guy to my left was waiting on the six of cracks with 1 6 of cracks. So he was only waiting for the six of cracks. Which means he had the last one, and he was waiting for the last two, which I had in my hand.
Both in your hand.
Yeah.
and you're trying to throw safe, and it just happens to be that other guy's winner.
Yep, and it says single weight.
That is really...
And he had, like, all the other cracks discarded, too, so it wasn't, like, it looked scary at all.
So it sort of looks like it could be a safe thing.
Yeah.
Which I guess is triple tricky. That he's like, oh, look, I've got this tile right here in the middle that looks like it should be safe.
Well, I mean, yeah.
I guess...
And that was 7,700 points, and so, like...
Oh, jeez.
I mean, everything that I discarded basically ended up being 7,700 kind of points, so... That adds up really quick.
That really does add up pretty quickly. Actually, that reminds me of... I had a game like that, too. And given the fact that I had such a crazy game in my second game... in the second game, I had 5 continuations as dealer. 3 of those, I got, like, dealer Mungon. So 12,000 points, 12,000 points, 12,000 points. 12,000 points 3 times, that's 36,000 points! Blam! I got up to 80,000 points in one game, and I was plus 63 for the second game. Like, that would be a gigantic win just for one session, right? But to have that in just one game is absolutely ridiculous.
Right.
And I actually won another one of the games, and I still managed to finish only plus 25, to give you an idea of how badly I lost the other two games that I lost. Which people did mention. They're like, oh, geez, you got a plus 63, and you still only finished up 25. So, yeah, it is true. Once you get into that mode of throwing other people's winners, it's really strange how it's impossible to get out. I keep getting in that mode myself sometimes, and I...
It sounds like maybe there's some nagare involved.
No, it doesn't sound like nagare to me.
So, nagare means that once you get into some mode, then it just keeps going and going and going. So if you are not lucky, you're going to keep on being not lucky. And if you are lucky, you're going to keep on being lucky. So you should push. And this is a strategy that many of our higher-ups like to preach, that Garth often likes to refute.
Yes, I just cannot accept. And, you know, it's one of those, maybe I need to find some way to rationalize it, because... Currently, I have not got it rationalized out. And
it almost sounds like you were agreeing with the theory just a second ago.
I know. If we want to translate the word itself, flow. I mean, you really are in the flow, and we like to use it positively to say you're in the flow of doing something good. But you can also be in the flow in a bad flow too, and that's why you keep throwing other people's winners. And it happens to me. It obviously happened to me in some of those other games too, where I went down and down and down. And I don't know, I feel like it has more to do with the way that you're thinking at that moment is wrong, and you know, you're in a mode that you're thinking wrong, so that, you know, you keep making the same decision that is just not right. You made that wrong decision before, and then you're in that wrong decision making mode, so you just keep going with it. I don't know, because I really don't feel like... It seems like such a ridiculous thing to me. It seems... Right, here's what it would be the same thing as saying. If this hand, I had 3 north tiles in my hand, then probably next hand, I'm going to get 3 north tiles in my hand again. How ridiculous an idea is that?
That's how I play.
Or, you know, last hand, the Dora was... You know, eight of dots. So it's probably going to be 8 of dots this next hand too.
That's not how it works usually.
And if it happens 2 hands in a row, then it's definitely going to be the 8 of dots.
Oh, I'm pretty sure that every time I played yesterday, the Dora was the white dragon.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Except for when it was the red dragon.
I do notice that. You notice that more often, though, when it's the letter tiles, when it's the same Dora that comes up. You're like, we had that same Dora last time. But I think, you know, I'm sure it happens with all the other tiles, and I really don't think that it happens any more in a row than it doesn't.
I think you're wrong.
Oh, goodness. Yes, well, that flow argument, that nagare argument, will probably come up again someday in the future.
Oh, yeah, I have a surprise for you, too, because on your prep sheet here, you forgot, or you didn't forget, but I forgot to tell you that we needed to add in the Oranda cycle tournament.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Before we get into strategy.
Okay, yeah. One other thing I was going to say, that at my table in that game, especially in that game, oh, and it happened to him too, Tomotake, he got into the mode where everything he threw was somebody else's winner. And most of that 80,000 points that I had came from him. And, you know, he's one of the top players in our league. He was in A1 for a while. He's currently at the top of A2 and will probably... It looks like he's, you know...
He won the whole Phoenix Cup before.
Yeah. He is an outstanding player. And even he couldn't stop throwing somebody else's winner.
Except for when I was waiting for you, and then he could not stop continuing as dealer.
It's true. That last game, he did go on a kind of a rampage, and I think he managed to finish only minus 50 or something for the day. But in the game that I won, he was throwing everybody else's winners, and I think he had to borrow 10,000 points twice, I think, in that game. And you know, you see that kind of pro, he just lets it wash off, and, you know, fourth game he comes back and he wins.
I bet he went and screamed in a pillow afterwards.
It's possible.
I did that.
One other result, actually it's not quite a result yet, it's sort of an update. The 10 steps tourney, which does take forever to actually finish, has finally reached the final table. Moriyama managed to beat 3 A-leaguers, Maehara, Ara-san, and Mr. Ara. I don't know why. Ara's name is just too small for it to just be Ara. So they were Maehara, Ara, and Ishinabe. And Moriyama beat those three. He got 3 wins in a row in the semifinals. It's a 6-game semifinal. Won the first 3 games to assure his spot. The other one from his table was Ishinabe. From the other table, Seto Kuma and Mito. Do you know who Mito is? I think it's the guy who really cleans up on Ronron.
Yeah, he's always on Ronron.
Always on Ronron. But I don't even really know which league he is in. But he has made it to the final table of the 10 Steps tournament, which is quite an accomplishment.
Maybe because he plays on Ronron all the time.
Yeah, he does.
Seriously, Ronron, the level is kind of high, so I think you could learn a lot by playing on there.
You could definitely make that argument.
Because I lose a lot on there, so...
The level is obviously quite high.
Except for mine.
Yeah. And, of course, defending his title will be Horiuchi. And, I don't know, from that group, so if you look at that group, Setoguma, Ishinabe, Mito, Moriyama, and Horiuchi, who do you predict? Who do you like in that group?
Well, I like Moriyama because he has the atomic reach.
Yeah.
And that's just so cool because, like, players players these days,
yeah,
you know, they don't have little quirks like that, you know.
There is a serious lack of style.
Yeah. I mean, it's just like you play this way. And part of it was breeded into them because they're like, okay, everybody has to wear a suit and everybody has to do this and that and no smoking. And yeah, I'm happy about the no smoking thing, but honestly, it just changes the whole... It makes, you know, everybody kind of a cookie cutout.
Yeah, it's true. There is not a lot of character in the game right now. And the character comes from just ridiculous styles of Mahjong, which I think is Horiuchi's play. I absolutely cannot figure out what he is doing. And, you know...
But I would really like to see Moriyama on the table there, hold all of his tiles, and then just throw it and say, reach.
With a resounding whack!
Yeah, because that's how he does it. And, you know, he does discard, like, harder and stuff than other people at certain times, so... I kind of like that.
Yes. I do like him also in this matchup. And also, for another reason, because I think he is the player least likely to be affected by Horiuchi's style of playing. Seto Kuma was actually on the final table last year, too. This is his second final table for the 10 Steps tournament in a row. And, you know, he obviously lost. And I think he is the kind of player who likes to... get some sort of read on what other players are doing, and he will react to it. And I think that is a big no-no when playing against Horiyuchi. Mm. Because so much of what that guy does is totally unreadable. And I really think there are quite a few hands when, you know, I think it can't quite be this simple. Sometimes I think his strategy is actually just to call for any tile that he can anytime. If he can pawn or chi, he is going to pawn or chi in that situation. Because it absolutely seems sometimes like that's the way he's pawning and chiing. And if other players react to that, they're only going to start slowing their own hands down. And I think Moriyama is going to be the kind of player that will react a lot less to that and still stick to his own game. And it happened when I played, when I was on the same table with Horiyuchi and, who was our old boss? Kamimura. when we were in the special league with him, for the first two games, we kept reacting to what he was doing,
right.
And we lost. And then after a while, we realized, holy crap, there is no way to read what he is doing. It's just totally senseless. There may be some method to his madness from his perspective, but unless you can see his hand, you have absolutely no idea what's going on just from looking at what he's cheated or pawned.
Mm-hmm.
So, we for the last two games, we just ignored him, and we both did very well in those two games, and he did very badly.
Mm-mm.
So I think the players that will do well in the 10 steps tournament final are the ones who just stick to their own game rather than let him take them off their game.
Gotcha.
So yes, like you, I am also rooting for Moriyama.
Well, also, I mean, he's our shisho, mentor.
Yes, our mentor.
We're obligated to.
We have
for him.
Everything to owe. We owe so much to Mr. Moriyama. As pretty much everybody in our league does. I mean, our league is a success pretty much due to his tutelage, I would say.
I agree.
Okay, so enough blowing sunshine towards Moriyama. And you wanted to talk about the Holland tournament.
Right. No, they called it the Oranda Saiko, which is in Japanese, so the strongest Netherlands tournament.
Very nice.
Yep. And our own Vortex, Tom Mastonen, and he said that, I think he said he laughs at how we pronounce his last name,
not
but
really.
I only chat with him, so I'm never going to be able to know to pronounce it correctly. Sorry, Vortex. And also Gemma Collinge joined them in Utrecht. How do you say that?
I would say Utrecht.
Okay. somewhere near Amsterdam, I believe, because that's where they flew into.
No, I don't really know either.
So they had 68 players, which made it the biggest tournament, or the biggest reach tournament this year in Europe.
Wow, very done. Well done.
Yep. And I think they had like 10 different countries represented.
Wow.
That's what Vortex reported to us. You can read his entire report on reachmahjong.com by coincidence.
How did he get connected to those guys?
God, I'm such a bad vamper. Okay, so anyway, there were the top three got prizes, and actually, Tom he made a report beforehand in August. He did a pre-game report, and he predicted five players, and two of those players made it in the top three.
Wow!
So way to go,
way
him.
To go him.
So the winner was Bert Claesson. Clayson? Klassen? Clayson?
Yes.
Jeff Strick. And... Oh, sorry. Nicholas. I can't say it. Nicholas, congratulations. We're just going to say Nick P.
Nick P.
There's two L's. I imagine it's French, and French is my worst pronunciation language.
Which one is that? Poyu? Boy, that is a weird name.
I'm sorry, Nicholas.
Yes. We will study.
Nick P., congratulations on your third place. ReachMahjong.com also donated prizes to the event, and it was great.
Way to go, us.
So congratulations, everybody, on a successful tournament, and hopefully Garth and I can come eventually.
Yes, we would like to get out to Europe for more of those tournaments anyway. Yeah. At least for no other reason than to stop our very own Gemma from winning all the ones so that we could, win.
Yeah, well, she didn't win this one, but instead Tom took fourth place, so way to go him.
Yes, well done.
And I think that puts him like in the top 5 or something for Europe rankings right now.
Wow, well done.
So reachmahjong.com is very well represented.
Fantastic. Again, way to go us. Okay.
You guys are all great. Yes. To us.
That was quite some updating there, wasn't it? I did want to give one little strategy talk, just because it's something I've been thinking about. And it's something that came up in the North Kanto League. In my last session, I had a hand. I'm not sure if everybody can visualize this, but I got to ready with the hand. In dots, I had 1, 2, 3, 4, 4, 5, 5, 6, 8, 8, 8. And my head, my atama, was the 4 and 4 of bamboos. And that was also the dora, and that's the hidden, or that was the lucky dragon, which is why I hadn't thrown it away earlier. Actually, before I got to ready, I was sort of also going for 7 pairs, but another 8 came, giving me the 3 8s there, which is why I ended up going for, waiting for the 3 and 6 of dots. But of course, I have no hand point unless it's the 6. And the very round that I finally got to ready, a 6 was thrown by my lower house, and then another one right after that by the house across from me. So now I'm waiting for the very last 6, or if I draw the 3 myself, I can win on that. As it happened, 2 draws later, I drew another 4 of bamboos. So now I've got a triple there. And in my, you know, sort of tunnel vision, I ended up thinking, well, I'm just going to stick with my 3-6 weight. The only other option I saw was to throw the 5 of dots, and then I would be waiting for the 1-4-7 of dots. But as it also had happened, I had thrown the 1 of dots to be ready. When my hand got to ready, that was the extra tile that I had. So going for that weight would put me in a missed win situation. So it seemed like the best thing to do was to just throw the 8 of dots, leaving the 3 dora in my hand. And what should happen, but, you know, 2 draws later, or I mean, two draws later, that same drawing round, the guy across from me throws the last 6 of dots, and I end up winning because I made that mistake. And, you know, we've talked a little bit about this. It's not necessarily a mistake so much as it's just the fact that I didn't notice all my options. And had I really noticed that I could also be ready by throwing my last 1 there, and I'd be waiting for the 2 and 5 of dots.
With a hand point.
With a hand point, yes. That would be a guaranteed hand point, right? I'd have simples in my hand.
Yeah.
And so then I could win off either 2 or 5, if people threw them.
Right.
And obviously there were more of those still out there than just the 1-6 that I was waiting for. And had I noticed that option, I'm sure I would have chosen it, but I just didn't, and so I stayed with the 3-6, and my mistake paid off. I did write a column about that, saying that, my best strategy lately is to just make mistakes in the right spots, because I've gotten pretty lucky by making mistakes in the right spots. But what I did want to point out was that I think, especially me, I get locked into thinking about my hand being in a certain shape.
Mm-hmm.
And so I had already decided, you know, that I had those runs there.
Right.
And then, you know, I had the triple eights, and okay, well, instead of going for the triple eights, then I'll just take the triple 4. And I'll still just keep going for those runs that I had. Whereas had I changed, you know, I have the 3 8s and the 3 4s and the bamboos, then I can go for the how would we say nobetan in
a double sided.
Yes.
It's like a double single weight.
A double sided single weight.
Yeah.
An open ended single weight, yes.
Not open ended, it's a closed ended.
Yes, it's a very strange translation.
Like 2, 3, 4, 5, where you're waiting for
right.
2 and 5. Yeah.
And so that kind of change in your hand happens a lot, actually. The shape of your hand changes, and you need to be aware of how that may also add points to your hand. And so, you know, if I keep the 1, 2, 3 and then 4, 4, 5, 5, 6, I'm only waiting for the 3 and 6, and I'm only really waiting for the 6 to come out from other players. because that's the only one that gives me a hand point there. If I throw the one, then I gain the simple's hand point. And I was wondering if you can think of any other examples where that happens a lot, because there's one other place that I've seen myself make that same mistake. Do you know, are you familiar with any sort of places where you tend to miss or not notice the shape of your hand changing?
It's like, not really. Yeah, well, it's just when I'm playing too fast, or I'm not really paying attention, I'm like, so when I think about it, I always notice all the different ones, and I'm actually not too bad at the single suit as well, which I know you've been having trouble with lately.
I cannot find my weight.
Actually, we found a good iPhone application to practice that,
yeah.
So maybe we'll write a review on it. Oh, that can be good homework for you. Because you could practice it. So, I would say generally I tend to want to go for runs, and then I get too many pairs, and I discard one of the pairs too quickly or something.
Huh.
And I don't notice other options to keep my pairs and the runs going. So where I'll have like five pairs, and I'll discard one. I'll discard one because I have runs as well. I'm one away from seven pairs.
Right.
So that's the biggest one I miss.
Well, it's interesting that you. Oops, sorry about that. A little noise there. It's interesting that you make the mistake in that direction, whereas I think I make the mistake in exactly the opposite direction. A lot of times I will have a hand where I happen to have a couple extra pairs, but I have the 7-8-8 or the 4-4-5, and so I'm still expecting to get runs, and then, in another one of those things where I had like a 2-3, then a 3 will come, so I have a pair there. And I, like you say, you could go for pairs, but I'm still thinking about runs, so that when, say, like another 3 comes, so that I get a triple there, and I already had one triple in my hand, I don't notice how close I am suddenly to 3 concealed triples. And there have been times when actually then, so then I got that other 3, and then one of the other triples up, and now I have 3 triples in my hand, and I'm waiting, and I have an open-ended weight, and I'm like, oh, I have an open weight, I'll reach. Well, how ridiculous is that? My favorite hand in the world is 4 concealed
right.
triples, and I'm like, there are 6 tiles that I can draw to make me ready for that hand. And it's amazing how often I reach in that situation, and the instant I'm putting my, 1,000 point stick down, I'm like, oh my god, what am I thinking? And I live in mortal fear of drawing whatever will give me that other pair, or else, even finishing the other triple so that I could be waiting for a single tile to finish it. It's one of those things. You really have to pay attention to the way your hand is changing, even as you put it together.
Right.
As it comes together right before your very eyes, it can become something very different from what you originally thought it was going to become.
Yeah, and it's especially hard when you have so many tiles in one suit as well, because it can make so many different combinations.
Yes.
So.
Absolutely. That's another one that I really need to practice, is figuring out what my groups are in flush hands. All right. Well, that was today's strategy talk. Just be aware of the changes that you have made to your hand and how that may affect the hand points that are in your hand. You may gain or you may lose hand points depending on how you've changed your hand.
Yeah.
All right. And I guess that about wraps up what our topics. Let's see. Coming up, next month are the qualifiers for OESN, the King of Mahjong tournament.
Yeah, I don't think I'm going to play this time.
You're not going to play.
I have a lot of commitments.
Other engagements. All right.
Yeah, I think I'm actually going to. Hopefully, I'll be in the U.S.
Oh wow!
That weekend.
Well, for people who are going to be in Japan. There is the amateur qualifier on the 22nd of October, and that's only 3,000 yen to join. And they actually have them all over Japan. Actually, the one on the 22nd is in Tokyo. I think they may happen on other days depending on where in Japan you are. But if you are in Japan and you do play Japanese mahjong, I really recommend it. It's an exciting thing to participate in, and you may qualify for the next round, and it's a great experience. They are the our special rules, the competition rules for our league. So they're going to be maybe a little bit more difficult. You won't have the hidden dragons, the hidden lucky dragons, and no first turn wins.
Right.
But it's still a very interesting experience, and I think everybody who does play in it enjoys it. And you know, you have just as much chance to make it onto the next rounds as everybody else does. So if you're an amateur, at least in Tokyo, the qualifier is on the 22nd of October, and if you're a pro, the qualifiers are on the 29th and 30th, the next week. So that's Oisen. The other stuff that's going on, if you happen to be a poker player, Japan Poker Tour has got an awesome deal going on. If you play online on PokerStars, there are free qualifiers to keep moving up through qualifying rounds to make it to the JPT final, which happens in, I forget, October 31st?
October 29th and 30th.
29th and 30th. Okay.
The same weekend as
Holy
the OE.
Cow, it's the same.
Yeah.
Huh. All right. I guess I have to choose which OE day I'm going for that then, huh? Or maybe I'll solve that problem by not qualifying for JPT in the first place. And there are also live events around Tokyo and Osaka, too, right?
Well, the live events feed into the final, right?
Right.
So, yeah, they're all over the place. You can see at the japanpokertour.jp website.
Yes. Another fun thing to participate in, I think, if you have time. Those are the events that are coming up. So, once again, we are from reachmahjong.com. If you'd like to reach us, I am not quite so reachable, probably, at GarthE, GARTHE, at reachmahjong.com. And your address is?
Jen, JENN, at reachmahjong.com. You can also buy my book on Amazon.
That's right, I forgot about that. Well, it's still in print, eh? they didn't sell out?
Usually, generally, if they would have sold out, I think they would have reprinted it.
Wow.
Yeah.
I don't know how book things work, because I've never written a book before, so...
Yeah, it's not like a magazine. They don't need to sell it. They're gone. This was the 2009 book, and now it's no more. No, it's still on Amazon. You can
get
it.
That's pretty cool. What's the title of the book?
Reach Mahjong, The Only Way to Play.
Very nice.
Just like our website. Also visit mahjongmart.com to buy mahjong goods.
Very nice.
Yep.
Thanks again for tuning in to our Hisashi Rudy broadcast. I am Garth, and...
And I'm Jen, and we're without producer Troy, so it might be a little rough for a couple weeks, but we will get back in the hang of things, or producer Troy will come save us on a white horse.
Hopefully, yes. One of those things will happen. All right. Talk to you again next week.
Bye.